I want to welcome everyone to our live phone call, our live open Q&A call. And I want to, well, first of all, congratulate the folks that are with us listening in, because here's what I know. People who have a really good handle on how they're wired, what their strengths are, how they start to apply that information in any direction in their life, whether it's in their career, in a business, if they're an entrepreneur, if they are applying it with their children, with their spouse, just with themselves on how to really bring out their very best. These are the folks who not only seem to be a little bit more successful in life, but, boy, they're having a darn good time, too. And I wanted this open Q&A call to really be a great platform for folks to be able to jump in, ask questions that are very specific to them and their circumstances, because here's what happens oftentimes. We may read a book or, you know, get some information through a course we might take, whether it's in person or online, and at the end of that information sharing, we'll say, wow, you know, that was good information. But you and I both know it's not information that's important. It's information that's actually applied, that's really used. So that's what we're here to help you do today. So we're going to start with questions. I have a couple of questions that have actually come in through email. And I also have some questions that have come in through the Q&A box, it looks like, too. I'll be getting to those in a moment. Let me jump to the email first and just a reminder to the folks that are on the phone, if you press star 2, that will raise your hand, and then that will put you in the queue so I can unmute you at the right time, and you can either make your comment or ask your question, contribute in any way you would like. So let me get started. I had an email that had come in from a mom, and she said, hey, you know, our son David, they're actually from Nebraska. Our son David is 15 years old, and he's at that time in his high school career where he's thinking about colleges and future career paths. How can we help him make better decisions? So here's the thing. You know, I think it's incredible how at 18 years old, 16, 15, 17, we expect our children to make lifelong decisions right then and there, perfectly, right out of the gate, without having enough information to know really what they enjoy. So if you think about it in terms of for your son, 15-year-old David here, if David is someone who is outgoing, if he's someone who is very relational when it comes to people, if David is someone who is very creative and adventurous, if David likes to make decisions, if David likes to be in a big crowd, his college decisions would be different than someone who's very analytical and much more reserved and much more laid back and maybe a little bit more task-oriented. So those are just some general categories. Now, the other thing to consider, too, when we talk about making college decisions, there's a couple of aspects of college decisions that are important. The type of school, the size of school, and, of course, that ever-important course study. You know, what are they actually going to study once they get there? Now, if David has, I'm not sure if David has had our Wired Style Revolution team profile done. But he did in the back. You'll see that there are actually lists of some career paths that actually use strengths that are specific to each Wired style. So let me give you some in general terms. So if David is very decisive, he likes to be in control. He's the type of kid who, even at the age of 2 or 3, was running your household pretty much. But he may very well be very dewired. And if that's the case, David would do very well in a school where he could shine, in a school where he could become the head of a group in the school, or somebody who, you know, he could become the head of a club, he could become class president. David would do very well in a school that offered him career pathing that would put him in the driver's seat. So these are career paths that would put him in control. Now let's talk about iWired style. So David is very gregarious and friendly and fun-loving and the life of the party and thrives in being with a large crowd. Then David might very well be iWired. And if that's the case, David would do very well in a school that's pretty large, with large numbers of people there, as opposed to a very small institution. David would do amazing with careers that would allow him to express himself. So it could be careers that are very creative, artistic, careers that are out front and sort of, you know, on stage, if you will. So think of it in terms of that way for David. Now, David's very S-wired, and he is much more relaxed and loyal and a little resistant to change. He likes things to be very status quo. And David might very well be S-wired, and if that's the case, he would do amazing in a much smaller college where he could have a very predictable routine, know and see the same people all the time, and he would probably do very well in careers that require consistency, require that nurturing ability, require someone who has a process that's already in place that works over and over and over again. Now, if David is very analytical and you walk in David's room and his, you know, shirts are sort of lined up like little soldiers in color order, he may very well be C-wired. C-wired children and adults are very organized, very analytical, very structured, very compliant, if you will. And if that's the case, David is going to be more likely a person who, again, would do much better in a smaller school, but also in a career path or in an area of study where he could really exercise his abilities in that analytical side and be rewarded generously for it. So think of it in terms of that. I would also encourage you to, you know, check out the Wired Style profile. And if you know how David is wired, you know, jump on right into mywiredstyle.com and take that button to the left for families. If you're not already a member of our community, do that. And just post your questions up there. I mean, I am just thrilled to pieces to be able to help in any way possible. So thanks for that question. And just a reminder for the folks that are on the phone, press star 2 to raise your hand to ask a question, to make a comment. And in the meantime, also on the teleseminar page, you will see there's a place you can actually type in your question, too. So let me get to those questions. I'll start here. I've got lots of good questions for you. When one comes up with a good idea and it starts to really get some drive and momentum going, but then regular, everyday, mediocre life sets in and happens to it, allowing it to fade out of the picture, how does one keep their dreams alive long enough to turn it into reality? Wow, that is a great question. You know, I work with a lot of aspiring entrepreneurs. I'm a professor at the Free Agent Academy. For those of you who want to check it out, if you go to www.faainvite.com, you can read about it there. But here's the thing, you know, when we have an idea, you know, trying to move into an entrepreneurial pursuit, it's not insurmountable. It's quite doable. But I agree with this writer who's saying, hey, listen, how do I not let the distractions of life pull me down, pull me away from my goal, pull me away from what I'm really trying to focus in on? So here's a couple of things. Depending on who you are and depending on the circumstances, you know, let's face it, you can be in the middle of working on a project. I remember last year, actually even this year, I was getting off a plane in December, coming back from my friend Dan Miller's place in Tennessee, and, you know, landed at LaGuardia Airport. And as I got off the plane, I was doing three things at one time, which is not uncommon for somebody who's D and I wired as I am. And what happened was one foot went one way, one foot went the other way, and I tore my meniscus a little bit. So I kind of was a little out of commission there for a couple of days because I had to keep my leg up and I couldn't do some of the normal things that I would be doing each and every day. And that was so frustrating to me because I knew in my heart I really wanted to get some other stuff done. So in those times when life is sort of distracting us and pulling us away, a couple of things. Number one, setting a priority. If you don't already have a weekly plan, a daily plan of what you hope to accomplish that day, it is so easy for life to get the best of us, to distract us away from our real intent. And when I was with my clients, I teach them the power of three. A lot of times we will have an exhausted list that is huge, insurmountable, incredible. No one could possibly accomplish it, and that's what we're trying to dig through all the time. So it's easy for us to take that massive list and put it to the side and not really accomplish anything. But the power of three says this. Just find three things. What three things do you need to do today to move that business or idea or project forward? Same is true in corporate life. What are the three things, what are the three components this project needs to have happen now so you can move it forward? I think what you'll find is if you can start to condense your activity and focus in on the power of three and not allow those three things to suffer, other things can go by the wayside that might be on your massive list, but those three happen no matter what. Even if it means you lose a little sleep, even if it means, you know, I don't know, you're sort of doing some work while you're, you know, sort of multitasking a bit. Whatever it takes, just get to the power of three. Those three things back day after day after day after day after week, you will be so surprised at how quickly you can start to move towards your goal without overwhelming yourself. Again, look at that power of three. I think that's really going to help. And that will help you to stay focused on what's really important for that moment at that time for your, you know, for your business and for yourself. I would really encourage you for that one. And we have another question here on the webcast. Let me pull that up. This is coming from Devin. Says, hey, how do I empower my teenage daughter who is a high D while helping her understand other people's wiring so that she doesn't always feel that people are trying to control her? She doesn't like being told what to do, and she likes to be in control. Oh, yeah. Welcome to the high D world. Now, it's tough. You know, here's the thing with high Ds. That need for control, that absolute desire to be able to take a hold of life and run life the way we want to run life, it can be a painful time for us parents. But I have to tell you that, Devin, by harnessing her need for control, what will happen is you will not only help her to see how she can use her powers for good, if you will, but also you'll help her to see that there is areas of her life that she can control today and that she can't control today, and that the more competent she becomes at the things she can control, the more likely she will be long-term to control those other areas. So let me give you a couple of examples. And, Devin, feel free to, you know, plug in any other questions you have right there into the Q&A as I'm going through this. If, for example, there's an area where she really wants to control, she just, you know, hey, I want to control what time I'm out until, you know. There's some things that are just non-negotiable. There are just some things as parents we can't negotiate with them. But explaining to her and sitting down with her and helping her to see about the different personality styles, I would really encourage you to almost do like a mini webinar with her, do a little mini workshop and say, hey, you know, I want to share with you this information because here's what I found out. As a high D person, you have amazing capability to not only run your life, but be able to run businesses and projects and be uber successful and very decisive in what you do. So I want to help you jumpstart that power. I want to help you jumpstart that control in a really great way. What I find with most high Ds, you know, if you look at kids who are unruly and hard to control, and I'm not at all suggesting that your daughter is, I'm sure she probably is a very lovely gal, but I'm trying to look at the exact opposite side. So somebody who's very unruly, very hard to control, very aggressive, and they're a teenager, you know, you add that personality style with some hormones, and it can become a very potent mix. But if you were able to take that teenager, and I've seen this happen even on teens that they got on mission trips that were very high D kids and really, really so excited about helping but wanting to have some responsibility along with it. And if anybody's ever been on a mission trip, you know that typically, you know, they're so appreciative of having all hands on deck that these kids were given control over certain aspects of the mission trip and how they could sow into the lives of others. And they learned to use their ability to control and respond and their responsibility in a way that serves someone else. And I got to tell you, Devin, I saw faces light up that had heretofore been sort of dead, you know, because they were finally in their element. They were finally in control of something. I mean, I remember working in a Haitian village with a group of teens and seeing this one gal in particular who was a very high D kid and really, you know, really wanted uber control, and they put her in charge of a component of that mission trip, And I can tell you, she was a changed person by the end of that trip. And I know a lot of it had to do with the fact that she was serving and a lot of other, you know, powers from above there. But for a high D child, the more you can, number one, encourage them and equip them, so help them to learn more about the four personality styles. You know, help them to learn how they can use it in their lives and also with their friends. Help them to see how they can help analyze their friends. That's really helpful. And then the third piece is, Devin, help her to find something that she can control. And say to her, we want to help to let her know that, you know, control is sort of like, if you look at, a stairway, you know, you're going to start with this level of control. And when you were very, very young, you had a baby step there. You know, and you're working up that ladder of control, and I know you're not going up nearly as fast as you'd like to, because it's a high D. Unless you've got her on, you know, the easy pass, the speed pass to get to the top rung quickly, she's always going to be frustrated, always. But help her to pour that frustration into action and controlling very well the things that she can. I would almost challenge you, Devin, to see, would she be interested in learning enough about D's and I's and S's and C's that maybe she could actually help her friends, that you could put her in a position and equip her enough that she can now help them to understand how they're wired. Because the more she teaches it, the more she'll learn it about herself. I think what you'll find, the more that she'll actually apply it. So feel free to jump in and ask a follow-up question. For those of you on the phone, if you press *2, that lets me know you've got your hand raised and you want to ask question. I see you've got a question here. Let me unmute you. This looks like Chris from Nevada. Hey, Chris.
Hi, Deb. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Thanks. We got a little bit of dusting of snow this morning. It's been a real mild winter.
Really? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Here in New York, it's going to be 55 degrees today.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, it'll likely warm up, but we got a little dusting overnight.
Oh, that's perfect. Hey, listen, if you're going to have it, January is a good time to have it.
Yeah, that's right. It's going to come. Hey, my question is about myself and then kind of a joined question about Annalisa.
Okay, shoot.
For myself, you know my wiring, ID, DI, depending on what day I take the test, I guess, what kind of mood I'm in. But when I'm trying to really concentrate on work, I'm really working on developing content for my website, and writing is not a natural strength for me, so it takes me a while to get into writing and to muse and my imagination going so that I can have some content that's engaging for anyone that would read it. And it seems like it takes me so long to get to that point, and then I get there, and then I get interrupted, and you know, there's a need in the family that has to take place, and then boom, it's gone just like that. I try to come back to it, but it's lost.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
looking for any guidance for myself that way.
Yep. Well, let's tackle that question first. So you are right. I mean, whether you're a DI or an ID, your ability to communicate is much better served in speaking than in writing. Not that you can't write, but your expressiveness comes very naturally in speaking and presenting. So for you to have to sit down and write can become a little bit of a chore, for sure. A couple of things that have worked successfully, and again, you know, this is not as much a wiring issue as much as it is a, you know, how do you carve out time to get things done, or is there a shortcut to getting things done? So, of course, carving out time that's in a different location to get those tasks done that we can't be interrupted for helps, and that's not always possible. But the other thing, too, is to find ways that you can shortcut your writing. Can I give you a suggestion, something that I found that worked successfully for me?
Sure.
What I started to do, Chris, like you, my wiring is D&I, so like you, I struggle a bit with sitting down and just flat-out writing, and it's almost like when it happens, and it's like I have to really capitalize on that moment. But I'm so much better at talking it through than writing it through. So what I started to do is I started to just record myself, and then I happened to have a virtual assistant, and I had her transcribe them. And as she transcribed them, she cleaned them up and made them a bit more grammatically correct for writing purposes. And then I posted them on my blog. For me, that helped me because then what I was able to do is when I was driving in the car, if an idea came to mind, you know how with our eye wiring, we sort of like, we're very impetuous. We have to tackle something right away.
That's right.
So what that allowed me to do is if I'm driving in the car, an idea, a blog post or something that I really felt I wanted to communicate came up, I literally picked up my iPhone while I was driving, pressed one button and started recording, and then emailed that out to my virtual assistant who transcribed it for me, and poof, it became a blog post. For me, that worked a little bit better than just sitting down and going through the chore of writing. I know other folks, though, that are so gifted, like our friend Dan Miller. He's a gifted writer. I mean, this guy, he, not only is he amazing at writing, but it just flows so naturally because that's just a talent that he happens to have. So I would almost challenge you to maybe look at a different way to approach that writing work, you know, especially because it's something that doesn't come as naturally for you.
That's a good idea. I'm going to have to do that. Thank you.
You're welcome. And then you said you had a question about your beautiful daughter, Annalisa.
I do, yes. And Archie Winningham's on the line, apparently, and he Skyped me. And he said,
Archie.
Hey, tell Deb I said hi.
Hey, Archie. Nice to know that Archie is listening. And folks, if you don't know Archie Winningham, you have to get to know him. You can
friend him on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. Friend him on Facebook. In the My Wired Style community, he's in there. He's also in 48days.net. Archie is one of the best people you'll ever know in your life.
I second that. With Annalisa, let's say I have a task that I need to, very task-oriented, so I have a task I need to accomplish, and she's vying for my time, and she'll give me those pouty looks, and, don't you want to play with me?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I want to play with you, but what are some more maybe verbiage I could use or a different approach I can take with her to let her know, you know, I got to concentrate on this right now and then.
Yeah, that is a tough thing. Listen, this is every parent's lament is how do we get our jobs done, whether you work from home or you work outside of the home, it doesn't matter. How do we get stuff done and still let our kids know that we really do want to spend time with them? But right now we may not be able to at this exact moment, you know, we're in the middle of doing something that's important. You know, it is a hard thing. A couple of strategies that have worked. Now, your beautiful daughter is very eye-wired. So she's very relational. She likes fun. She needs interaction. That's how her cup gets filled. Cup gets filled by she's energized by being with other folks and just having fun and getting their approval, being popular with them, right? Feeling that camaraderie. So think of it in terms of what she needs. So she needs to have that feeling. She needs to connect relationally. She needs to have that feeling of camaraderie. She absolutely abhors being alone. So that, or right off the bat, you know would be a problem. So if it's just you and she at home, or if she's at the office with you, and you're busy doing something and she's had no one else to interact with, it's a problem right off the bat. It's almost like you have to strategically make sure that you've got a third party there to help her engage with. The other thing, too, is, you know, if you can, before you go to do something that you know you'll be distracted for a while from her, is spend your time with her then. What a lot of parents will do with their eye-wired children, they'll say to them, just be patient, I'll be done in an hour. But for eye-wired kids, they don't have patience. It's not in their vocabulary. So it's almost like you have to fill their cup up beforehand to say, listen, let's have our fun time now and do something that's very interactive, very much fun, very much, you know, in line with what they like to do. And I would encourage parents, if they're listening in, right on the front page of My Wired Style in our community there, you can download a free copy of the book, Fun Activities for Your Child's Wired Style, and pull up the iPage and look at things that would be fun and interactive for her and with her. Spend that time ahead of time and then say to her, hey, listen, so for the next hour, here's what I'm going to need to do, and here's what I'd like to do with you when I'm done. Here's the fun thing I'd like us to plan out. So why don't you, you know, and let her do something creative. Draw a picture, you know, create a script for us to follow for the play, you know, decide what costume you want to wear, you know, give her something creative that will give her the ability to express herself so that when you come back to her an hour later, after her cup's been filled, you spend some time doing business, you come back to her an hour later, she will, number one, she'll have gotten something done. She'll feel like she's contributing to the afternoon. And number two, it's teaching her that we can't always get what we want exactly when we want it. And how do you allow that to happen and know that just because, you know, Dad can't spend time with me now doesn't mean that Dad's never going to spend time with me. It's going to happen. It's just going to happen a little later. And the more she gets her cup filled, it's kind of like a love sandwich, you know. She gets her cup filled. You do some work. She gets her cup filled again. The more experiences she has like that where she's sandwiched on both sides of that work, that will really sing to her soul, and she'll have something to always look forward to when Dad's working. Does that make sense?
That's great. Yeah, I'm going to download that list again and be more intentional about using it. So thanks for that reminder.
Yeah. My pleasure. My
thanks,
pleasure.
Deb.
Yeah, my pleasure. Try that out. And you know what? Jump in the community and let us know, you know, if there's something else that you've even come up with, Chris, that will help, you know, other parents learn as well how to navigate that, because that's a tough one, especially when you work from home. Really, really hard.
Very good. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Okay, so just a reminder for the folks on the phone, if you press star 2, that will raise your hand. And I see we have some more questions that have come in through the webcast, so let me go to that page. Okay. Mark says, hey, I have a daughter who's almost 19 and a single mom. She's not enjoyed retail or jobs such as waitressing or strong interfacing with obnoxious customers. She doesn't suffer fools well. Got that from me. I like that, Mark. That's good. She has a very strong personality and struggling with finding work and passion while being a mom. Good leadership potential, though. Any suggestions? Yeah, you know what? Here's the thing. It sounds like she's probably got some dewiring in her. And, Mark, I don't know if you have ever had a personality test done for your oldest daughter. Maybe you could let me know. It sounds like there's some really strong dewiring there. And here's the thing. First of all, bless her heart, you know, as a mom, especially at 19, she's got some very unique pressures right now on her. And, of course, her focus today has got to be her little one, her little baby, right? And making sure that she just pours into her life in a really great way. So that's obviously her most important job. Now, as a single mom, there's also going to be, no matter how they're wired, there's also going to be this tension, this tearing away. Like, I don't want to go out and deal with obnoxious customers and, you know, awful people because I don't have the tolerance for it. She's probably a little bit on the edge herself and maybe sort of, you know, her emotions could get a little raw with all the pressure she's dealing with. So dealing with customers in that regard are not helpful. A lot of times for folks that are very dewired, and again, I'm making an assumption, Mark, so if you, you know, if you jump in and let me know if you've had any idea of what her wiring is. But for folks that do have that, what happens oftentimes is because there's a real need for control, being in control is the be-all to end-all, right? So what that means is whatever we can do, it was sort of like Devin's question earlier, whatever we can do to give them control is the best answer. So for a lot of kids, especially young adults, what works very successfully for them is if they can have something that is their own business. Not working as a supporting player for somebody else's business. If they're D, they want their own business. Listen, I have seen kids that are dewired who have, you know, their own bands, or they have started a web service company. You know, they're not making a lot of money, but they're making enough to get by and to help them. And they are pleased as punch to show me their business card. They're just so proud of their efforts. And as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, they can now call their own shot. And they have a little bit more vested interest in putting up with icky customers if customers are ornery, you know. Now, being in a retail environment, being in the service industry as a dewired person, it's not really a good mix. I have to tell you, it really is not a good mix. Because dewired folks in a service industry, unless they are the boss, they're a little too rough around the edges. And again, I'm making some assumptions that she may very well be G-wired. But also, you know, being 19 and being in the service industry and having, you know, a baby at home, that is a tough thing. So I would almost encourage you to see how can you help her position herself from as a work-from-home mom, right? Can she own her own business? Can she become a service provider for a behind-the-scenes type of situation for an organization? I have to look. I know that Dan Miller had put out a while ago, there was some connections he put through on a newsletter of his, and he was talking about companies today or certain websites that were legitimate, very legitimate, that were looking for folks to work from home. So that, in my mind, is really a good fit for her, probably a much better fit than having her leave the home. Now, does she need interaction with other people? Yes, and that should be done socially, because then she doesn't necessarily have to be the boss, right? Mark just put in here, hey, yeah, Deb, I believe she is a high D as well. She took the personality profile a few years ago. It showed high I, but I think the D is higher. She came out as a persuader. Yeah, I think she's either an ID or a DI, but definitely her D is pretty strong. And I think what happens is under pressure, our personality style can really come out in a very big way. You know, it's a lot of times when folks are taking, I just want to make this point, when folks are taking the assessments, the online assessments, you'll see even in the instructions we give you, hey, if two answers to a question seem really close, choose the one that best describes you under pressure. Because under pressure is when our natural personality style just shoots right out of the gate. I mean, you can't squelch it. It just happens automatically. You know, you can go from zero to sassy in 3 seconds. So as a high D, the encouragement would be she would fail miserably being a support person for you. She would fail miserably being a support person for someone else. Where she is really going to fail is going to be in a couple of areas. So as a D&I wired person, she would do very well, especially with the persuader personality style. She'd do excellent at speaking. So maybe help her to even think in terms of, you know, if she's a single mom today, maybe there's a message that she has that she wants to get out. Yeah, maybe not, but that's one idea. But maybe to get out there and start speaking about the subject, you know, writing an e-book about the subject, right? Creating a business of her own where she is selling a product or a service. But it has to be something that it's her idea. What happens with D-wired people, whether it's an adult or a child or a teenager, it doesn't matter. If you give us the idea, we really won't follow it just because you gave it to us. We have to come up with the idea ourselves for it to have any chance of going through. So don't feed her ideas at all. If anything, encourage her to come up with her own list of ideas, and then you help match her with resources to get those ideas launched for her, right? The other thing, too, is sometimes as a parent, this is so hard for all of us, as a parent, sometimes we are not the best person to help our child learn how to move into a different direction when it comes to a business or a career path. It takes, especially when they're a teenager, it takes a couple of decades later, as I understand it, especially if they're D-wired, until they'll listen to us. Because, remember, someone with very high D competencies, they already think they know more than you do as a parent, because they are very confident in themselves naturally. So it's not a demeaning thing. The same thing for you, Devin. Your daughter will know, she will feel that she is your equal and not your child. And you and I both know they're still our children, but they have this natural ability to feel a little bit puffed up. So they won't take that information as regularly from you as they will a couple of decades later, when they finally realize that, you know, mom or dad really did know best. So give that a little bit of time, but I would strongly encourage you, Mark, is to not have your daughter look to be a service provider, not to have her look in retail or the service industry. It's probably not the best fit for her. It definitely is not the best fit for her. Now, it's the only job she can find, and she needs money. Of course, we all do what we need to do, but if she's really looking to build something that is much more in line with her natural strengths and her natural abilities, certainly something that would allow her a platform to speak, or letting her run her own business is the best way to move it forward. So I hope that is helpful to you. Let me just check the phones, and then we'll go back to the questions I see on the webcast. So if you are on the phone live, if you press star 2, you can ask a question, make a comment, follow-up comment, even something else you've heard here, whatever. And let's go back to the webcast questions. Okay. Mark says, hey, I'm a designer showing up with a high C with some S and D. I struggle with shiny objects and have trouble focusing on one or two ideas for a long period of time because I want results now. Any suggestions? Ah, boy, I know this feeling. And here's the thing. I was just talking with somebody yesterday on a coaching call, and we're talking about, you know, there's this need for some of us to have microwave results. You know, we want to press the button, wait 2 minutes, and boom, we have a perfect gourmet meal. And that's not always how it works in business or in projects on the job. So where you might be getting hung up, Mark, is you are it kind of goes back a little bit to what I was talking with the first Q&A here about, you know, how do you not allow other things to distract you, right? So how are you planning your time? How are you planning your projects? And are you spending more time planning them or executing them? And again, it goes back to that power of three. So just to give you an example, I suffer from an exact same problem. So a couple of tricks that I've actually had to do, I put a timer. I have an iPhone, which is now an extension of whom I am. And I will do a couple of things. If I'm on a project that I know there's an aspect of this project that I could totally get lost for hours on, for example, if I was putting together a PowerPoint and I had to go to the web to get images for a PowerPoint presentation, right, or a workshop or a book, I can get to looking at those pictures and I will get lost if I allowed myself to. Totally lost, right? I could be there for hours and 4 or 5 hours could pass and be like, wow, I never selected the picture yet, but boy, I sure had fun. This is, I got to look at some really cool things. I have to literally now set a timer for myself. So those activities that I know I have a natural preponderance to sort of wander into and get lost, I now put a timer on. So I allow myself a few minutes, literally 5 minutes. And if I can't find the perfect picture in 5 minutes, I pick the best one I found in 5 minutes, and that's the one I have to use. Just an agreement I've made with myself, which helps me. The other thing goes back to that power of three. A lot of times when folks are very high in C competencies as well, and I think that is your primary style, right, Mark? Let me just check. Yep, C's. Yep, exactly. So what happens is with C-wired folks, you're so great at planning, and the planning piece feels comfortable. The planning piece is easy. The planning piece, and I say easy meaning, there's not a lot of pressure in planning. You're either planning or you're not, right? But where the rubber meets the road is in the execution piece. And when you're very C-wired, you have this natural caution about you that you want to make sure you're doing it really well, because you like to be viewed as competent. But then because you have enough dewiring in you that you're thinking, I got to get these results going, you're going to have this constant state of flux within your own gut that you're going to be fighting yourself all the time. That's where, again, that power of three comes in. Now, if you have a big spreadsheet that has a whole lot of steps to projects you're working on, one of the things that will serve your wiring really well, Mark, would be to extract just the three things you need to do just today. Now, if you have more time and three becomes six, tremendous. But it's only three that you have to get done. And focus in and make sure that the sun doesn't set on your day until those three are accomplished. Once those are accomplished, then you can allow yourself to be distracted for a short period of time until the next day, right? So if you want to get distracted, just get them done early. Then you have a whole rest of the day to play and get distracted. But you get the drift here. It's really about staying very focused. How I do it in an electronic way and in an archaic way. So I have on my computer, on my MacBook Pro, a literal post-it note that's a sticky note that's right from a pad that has my three things on it, right? I also have it in my iPhone, so I carry it with me. So this way I know what my deal is for today, what I must accomplish today. Now, that works for me, and I will share that it's worked for a lot of other clients I've worked with, because that ability to say, okay, once I get these three things done, I can do whatever I want to do, absolutely, knock yourself out. But those three things must get done. Then I've had clients say, but one of my things will take me almost a whole day. Okay. All right, it will. Doesn't mean you shouldn't still get three things done. I know it sounds a little tough, it sounds a little firm, but that's the only way you move into the results stage. Otherwise, what happens is you become frustrated because you're allowing yourself to get lost in the detail of the project rather than allowing yourself to pour your time and effort into the execution of the project. Now, believe me, there's a lot to be said. You have to make sure you plan well. You also have to make sure that you get to the doing piece. And that's the best way I know to move forward. The only other recommendation would be is, you know, who are you accountable to? So, you know, if you don't have someone today that you know kind of knows what needs to, you know, what you're working on, what needs to be done, sometimes we just need somebody who will sort of poke us a little bit, say, did you get that done? How are you doing with that? So for some people, it's a coach. For some people, it's a mentor. For some folks, it's a community, a friend, a pastor, someone who's sort of connected with you at the hip who will help you get to that stage of launch. So that's something else to look at. And I'm Mark, I am sure that there are a ton of folks who'd be thrilled to pieces to sort of ride shotgun with you and help you to move those things forward. So I would encourage you to do that. And then the final question here from you is, my youngest daughter wants to pursue music. She's very sensitive as well. Her feelings get hurt easily, and she has a tender heart. How can I help her embrace her strength or prepare her for the harsh world of the music industry? Oof, what a question. You know, most of us who are C-wired, SNC-wired, CNS-wired, especially the C-wiring, there is a natural ability in music and or math. And if she happens to have that talent or gift, you're right, you know, the music industry is one that it requires a lot of resilience, the resiliency, because there is a lot of potential for rejection. So a lot of it depends on why does she like music. Does she like music because she likes to perform? And whether or not she wins a prize or gets a recording contract, as long as she's playing music, she's satisfied. I mean, you go into some of these cities in our own country, and I think of Nashville is a great example. You know, there are so many musicians there, such a high number of musicians there. And for a lot of them, whether or not they get the big recording contract is not as much the issue as long as they can express their art. But that's the real key for them. So they're not rejected as long as they have the ability to express themselves and at least one person acknowledges or appreciates their talent or gift. So a lot of it might have to do with the youngest daughter to see what is her actual pursuit. Does she really want to pursue that in a big way? I mean, I remember our daughter in middle school and high school, she did horseback riding. So she did English riding where they were jumping, you know, doing jumps and things. And it got to the point where we said to her, you know, are you enjoying this? Is it fun? And we had a horse and the whole thing. And it was the time where we had to decide if we were going to buy another horse that could jump higher, you know. And she said, you know, Mom and Dad, I like riding horses, but I don't really like competing. So she loved, still, horses. She loved riding horses. But the competition piece just wasn't her thing. You know, was it nice when she got a medal? Yeah. Did a ribbon? Did she feel bad when she did? Yeah. But that wasn't why she did it. She rode horses because she really enjoyed riding horses. And that, to her, was the most key. So, Mark, start to, you know, have a dialogue with your daughter and find out why does she like music and what about music does she like? You just wrote, she wants to use music as a vehicle to help other girls. Currently, it appears to be all she wants to do. Oh, I love that. Bless her heart. That is great. So here's the thing. If she wants to use it as a vehicle to help other girls, I would encourage her right now to start using it. You know, can she, for example, you know, can she set up a girls', I don't know, retreat, workshop, afternoon at your house? You know, I don't know, at a church or a community room where she can invite girls in, she can play her music for them, and just share, you know, just openly share her gift and see what direction it goes in. You know, a lot of times to our kids, the things that they loved doing in high school has a certain thread to where they'll be the most successful later on in their careers. I remember growing up in New York City, my dad was in AA and Alcoholics Anonymous. My mom was in Al-Anon, and I started an Al-Teen program, which is for teenagers and parents who are alcoholics. And what was great for me is that I was able to, because I started the group, I was kind of like El Presidente of the group and spoke to my dewired soul. And it allowed me to sow into the lives of the other teenagers who were there. And all of that became an important piece of who ultimately I ended up becoming and how I ended up starting the lives of other people later on. So I would encourage her, Mark, what can you do to maybe make a way for her right now today to start to set up a date? Doesn't have to be right now, but she can start to set up a date where she'll actually have a performance. And maybe what she can do is she can use that performance as a way, I don't know, to raise money for a certain project she likes. Maybe collect, you know, everybody, the admission is, I don't know, a canned good, and you can donate to the local food pantry. To allow her to express her gift, to see what reaction she gets from the very girl she wants to help, and then to help a third party in the interim while she's exercising her gift could really be a triple play for her. And it will also bless the other girls, too, to see that someone has a gift that they are so readily sharing with them. So I would maybe encourage her, why don't you look into that with her? That might be a great way for her to be able to use her skill, use her strengths, use her natural abilities, and then see what happens from there. You know, sometimes even though, you know, maybe getting a recording contract may be a challenge, today, with the way music and even the publishing, the book publishing industry is going, everybody is publishing on their own and recording on their own. Everybody's an independent label. So, and of course, with the way digital music is today, she could actually be sharing her gift right now through a website, you know, and see what types of reactions she gets, see what type of interest she garners. But no matter what, it still allows her to use her gifting and to share that music over and over and over again. And what might very well happen, Mark, is that as she starts to get accolades and as she starts to get a good response from the girls that she's serving, she may very well find a niche that serves her well, that really sows into her soul very well, but she doesn't necessarily have to face the harsh cruelty of the music industry. But as long as she's using her gifting with the folks that she really wants to bless the most, I gotta tell you, she might actually find her sweet spot a lot earlier than most. So I would encourage you to do that with her. Start to set a date, start to do that now, and even if it happens a couple of months from now, now you can help with the planning and getting that rolling. So that would be my advice on that regard. So here's a question from Archie. Ah, yes, Archie. So Archie says, Deb, as you remember, Austin is a freshman in college now. I'm not sure if the Christmas break has given him too much time to think or if he's just having a legitimate second thought about going to college. How do we really know what would be the best counsel for him? Great question. So here's the thing. I know this will be a little controversial, but not everybody is meant to go to college. You know, I say that tongue-in-cheek because my husband has his master's. Our daughter will get her master's in May. And I went to college for 45 minutes. Well, that's exactly what it was, 45 minutes. I graduated from high school. I was working full-time. I'll spare you the long story, but I went to college, and frankly, I went to night school. The professor at the break, I found him to be rude and abrasive, and I left because I didn't think he was that smart. But again, I'm very dewired and a little obstinate, so I left. And then I went on a trek of educating myself in a whole lot of different ways. I went to workshops and workshops, before there were webinars, live workshops with the likes of John Maxwell, with the likes of Dr. Robert Rome, Florence Littower. I was a voracious reader. I was sitting in on classes with my husband while he was in the college. So I was still learning. I was doing it in a completely different way. So actually going back to your question for Austin, for some kids, college is important. It's an important time of their life. It's a time where they mature, where they get to work, live on their own a little bit or become a little bit more independent even if they are living at home. They start to organize themselves, schedule themselves, be responsible for themselves in some way, shape, or form. A lot of it has to do with what is the end game. So think of it in terms of what is Austin, how is he wired, and what is his real aspiration? I remember Dan Miller talking about how Dan went to Oxford to work on his doctorate in psychology, and he just wanted the education. He went, he got it. He didn't even stay and do his thesis. He just wanted the information. He just wanted the information, and that was good enough for him, and he left. So his end game was he wanted the information, he got it, and he went on his merry way. So what is it for Austin? What is his real aspiration? What is he aspiring to do? Does he have a dream in his heart? Is there something that today Austin really is maybe wanting to do? Maybe he's even a little afraid to say it. You know, maybe he's afraid to express that to other people, but that's something to look at. And now, once you decide what that end game is, at least for today, does it require him to be in college, right? That's the real key. Does it really require college education? Some careers do, some don't. And that's the approach I would take. Now, the other thing is, I would really, you know, if Austin is has a already taken sort of a personality profile and you know how he's wired, I would really suggest you take a look at his wiring and see, are there certain career paths that he today is interested in, and does it really require a college education, or does it require certification in another area, or does it require neither? And then build a plan to do that. Now, again, there's a lot to be said for the college life, for college studies. I think we're so better served to help our children become lifelong learners because you don't want them to think, oh, good, let me just get through 4 years of college and then that's it. No, we want to encourage our kids to really be lifelong learners and to know that they'll constantly be in the learning mode. So I would encourage you, Archie, to maybe sit down with Austin, talk through what some of his end games might be. What is he really looking to do? Does he have a sort of a secret passion in his heart? And let me just give you a quick outline. This will be helpful for everybody. The process to really figuring out what you want to be when you grow up, whether you're 15 or 50, is pretty simple. Number one, you need to sort through what are things that you have done in the past that you have really enjoyed. So maybe you were the line leader in kindergarten, or maybe you were the editor of your college newspaper, or perhaps like me, you were the vice president of operations for a $500 million company and flew all around the world doing startup offices. What are the things you've done in the past that you have really, really enjoyed, that you did well and you enjoyed? Number two, what is your disquieting, say? So when you look at the DISC, once you take your assessment, what are the strengths that come naturally to your particular wiring? Number three, what are those passions? What are the ideas, the subjects, the things that you are most passionate about? Is it children? Is it art? Is it nature? Is it snakes? Is it music? Is it, horticulture? What are the things that either bring you to tears or bring you to a place of anger? A lot of times, the thing that we are the most passionate about is born out of our hurt or our frustration. I think that's true for me. You know, I'm passionate about helping folks at all stages of life understand how they're wired, that they can use their strength and become their very best person. They can really be a happier, healthier person, much more successful. And I think that was born out of the fact that I was in college for 45 minutes. And once I hit the working world, even though I learned and sort of have a PhD through the School of Hard Knocks, if you will, it really didn't matter if I wasn't able to help someone else, if I wasn't able to share what I had learned, apply what I've learned, but also share what I've learned. Me, that's a passion of mine. Again, that passion piece. And then once you have that map, so you know what you've done in the past that you've really enjoyed, what satisfaction it gave you. Did you feel satisfaction just in the doing or in the acknowledging? Sort of like if you were a really great writer, do you need to have other folks read your writing and express to you that they liked it? Or is the mere fact that you were able to write something that's incredibly great, very powerful stuff, good enough for you? So whether or not you received an acknowledgement, it didn't matter. You knew it was good, right? So your strength, your passion, what gives you satisfaction, activities you've done in the past, that's what you want to look at. Those components, each of those are the ingredients to really developing your sweet spot. And the only other thing I would say is it changes. There are seasons in our lives, there are seasons in our children's life when it changes. You know, if you have a garage or a shed full of athletic equipment from different sports, you know that. Either your season has changed in your interest in that sport or it has for your child. That happens. That's okay. It's sort of like trying it on for size. Sometimes the first part of our life, we're in a different career path than in the second part of our life. So allow yourself and allow your children the luxury of knowing that what they're deciding today may or may not be their entire future. It certainly, though, is the answer for this season at this time in their life. So I hope that's helpful to you, Archie. And, of course, as always, for everybody listening in, you can just jump right into the My Wired Style community. You can find us on Facebook. Ask your questions. Fire away. We're happy to help. So one last round I'll go through. We have some other folks on the phone. If you'd like to make a comment or ask your questions, the call is going to be ending in a few minutes, if not. So just press star 2 to raise your hand. And or you can go into the Q&A right in the chat box there. And we have a live caller. Let me unmute you. Hi, this is somebody from Tennessee.
Hey, this is Sutton. How you doing, Deb?
Hey, Sutton. It's so good to hear you. How are you?
Wonderful. Great call. I really loved what you were talking about regarding songwriting and music and things like that. It was very powerful information.
Thank you. How is my favorite musician author?
You know, this is such an important topic, and it's been something I've sort of been working with for a while, just trying to figure everything out. But I'm more of an IS or an SI, I guess, depending on the situation. And, I mean, some of the times in my life I really loved was when I worked at a health club and I played music at night. And those were – not that I want to be a personal trainer, because there's just something – I'd almost rather more be an encourager as far as the weight thing is, simply because I've always struggled with that myself. But also with music, it's interesting that you identified this. One of the things I love about playing music is, you know, I love the writing part, but I love the applause. And, you know, I mean, I kind of think who wouldn't, but even if I'm just playing a common song like Margaritaville, There's something about that feedback. I think I need affirmation in my life, which I found. So I guess with me, I'm kind of trying to figure out if there's almost, I know what the disc encompasses, but there's also someone that I follow that talks specifically to what he calls creative people.
Yes.
And creative people are very, you know, if you look at a creative person's desktop, they don't have one window open on the internet, they have 10.
Mm-hmm.
And if you criticize them, if you have a creative graphic designer and you say, well, I don't like that design, they're going to mull over it for the rest of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're very, I guess they wear their heart on their sleeves, and, you know, you have to approach those people in a different way. And that's sort of how I am, and I'm trying to figure out sort of the best way to, one is exactly, you know, what is my message, but also how to work around some of those distractions that I fall into, and how to use my strengths really to encourage and help other people. I mean, I think I'd love going around being a speaker and using my music with my speaking to encourage
mm-hmm.
people to go ahead and, you know, take those shots in life and move forward towards your dreams.
Yeah, I love it. Hey, can I ask you a question? Because you're talking about your message, you know, and I understand. I mean, I've seen you perform.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen you. I actually have it on videotape, I think, still on my iPhone. I have to look. So I could see, like, you light up when you're performing. It's clear that you are in your area of giftedness when you're doing it. But you're also not just performing. I notice that when you are performing, you're looking at your audience. You're interacting with them. You're trying to connect with them while you're performing. When you worked in the health club, right,
mm-hmm.
what did you do there exactly?
Well, you know, I taught a step aerobics class, and I was in sales mm-hmm. and sort of a personal trainer.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I really loved is working at the desk and just greeting people and walking around the gym and talking to people, hopping up on a treadmill right next mm-hmm. to someone and just talk about something. But the only thing is, at the same time, there's times I just love my privacy. So it's
mm-hmm.
almost two different things.
Yes, yes. And the reason I ask that question is, you know, one of the things that's very common when you definitely are a natural encourager to begin with, but your encouragement is born out of your story. Your encouragement is born out of your personal experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost wonder, when we talk about the message, you know, what's that satisfaction piece? In the little bit I do know about you, it seems that because you have had such a rich life experience so far, and you have a way to express where your head is at and kind of the encouragement and the point of view you have had born out of that rich life experience, that your ability to want to share that view with other folks, it's almost like if you go into a beautiful mansion on the coast somewhere and you walk into this beautiful mansion, it's very pretty, but straight away when those doors open all the way facing you, there's a huge wall, but there's curtains there. And you're the person who likes to draw the curtain back and wow folks with the view that's on the other side. And that's kind of how I've seen it, because I've read your book, which I thought was great. As a matter of fact, I just gave it to my sister to read as well. And seeing you perform, it's almost like something I could see how that becomes such an important part of who you are, that you want to share the point of view or the view you have, because you just think it's just awesome and it's awe-inspiring and everybody should be able to be wowed by it.
Cool, that sure helps. I love that visual of the mansion and the curtains.
Mm-hmm.
That's really helpful.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of, you know, from an outsider looking in, that's kind of how I've seen your area of giftedness. You know, just the nature of your book alone, just how you were able to, and folks, if you have not heard of Sutton Park, you need to. But where can they buy your book? So for folks, I'm talking about your book, but where can they buy it?
Well, they can go on to Amazon and just type in, you can sleep in your car, but you can't drive your house to work. And I think that's the only book on Amazon that's titled that way.
Uh-huh. Or they
but
can type in your name as the author, right? Sutton Park?
Yeah, Sutton Parks.
And it'll come up that way.
Learned that the story, you know, I sold one to a girl at the yogurt shop, a nice, you know, kind of religious lady. And later on, I thought, oh, man, she's going to read some pretty tough stuff in the front of the book.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I thought about it. I mean, a lot of the people, there's a lot of the people in the Bible have very much worse backgrounds in a sense than
yeah.
I do, like Paul. But he had his transformation on the road to Damascus, and I had a transformation. It just happened to be, you know, in my car at a truck stop.
Mm-hmm.
So I got much more comfortable with that aspect of it where, you know, I don't need to be concerned about, well, I shouldn't be concerned about offending someone because of how I was, because it's not about
all.
How I was, who I am now.
Yeah. And you know what I love too, Sutton, your message in that book, and that's what I encourage folks to buy it, is that when you talk about, you know, you were the richest man on earth. You had the best views, living in the best neighborhood. I mean, think about it. You turned what a lot of folks would look at as a deficit or as a glass half empty, and you just said, wow, I have got the world at right here in front of my windshield. I've got everything at my disposal.
Yeah, it was. I had to get to that point to learn that what I focus on increases.
Mm-hmm.
So if I focus on all the bad things, man, I could find 10 more bad things to focus on. It's sort of the law of attraction. But if I focus on all the good things, and if I have to go to something very small, like I got a pair of shoes,
mm-hmm.
and I got a pair of socks, and I have, you know, I'm relatively safe, I just start finding more and more things. It's almost like exercising a muscle. The more I increase and use that gift of gratitude, the greater it grows.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? You know, one of the things I would really encourage you to do, because you and I, when we met in Nashville last month, you spoke about, hey, you know, I think I want to go and get on the road speaking and sharing my music. So having my music be sort of interwoven with a message, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So what's stopping you right now from doing that? You've got a message,
right?
You've got the music, yeah.
It's funny, you've covered so much in this call. You also covered what I'm doing right now is I have a service business.
Mm-hmm.
So I clean toilets for a living for my customers.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so it's almost like a job in a sense where I'm.
Oh, sure.
So what's stopping me is getting a few more accounts and hiring someone, or just ditching the business. So it's sort of I guess a fork in the road where I have to decide, do I want to keep cleaning them myself, or how can I do, you know, do I want to go out during the week and travel during the week and then come back and do the cleaning, or do I want to hire someone? So that's a great question for me.
Can I challenge you a bit on that?
Sure.
Why does it have to be an or? Why can't it be an and for the first phase? Why can't you run your business, even though I know it's a very hands-on business, and speak and perform? Why can't you stay in a radius that's drivable in the first phase and start it out there locally and expand your radius and push back in time as you're able to?
Well, that's
what
a great
point. What
would
stop you from doing that?
Mm-hmm. I can even see Archie. He's pretty close here in Tennessee. Do something in his town.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think that's probably the frame I need to look at it at instead of how I was looking at it.
Yeah, I don't think it has to be an or. I either have my janitorial business or I pursue my dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I launched my business working full-time and then working my business part-time, you know, until this year, you know, when I was able to go full-time. But I would not have been a happy girl if someone told me you're going to have to give up a really lucrative executive career right now when you're launching your business and you're not making much of anything so that your business will make something. I was not comfortable with that because my husband, you know, it wasn't just my decision, it was a family decision. So we did the and piece. That worked very well. I'm not saying it's always easy, but it's doable. And I think a lot of very successful entrepreneurs have done that too. They sort of launched out while they had something else that was sustaining them. I remember Dan Miller telling stories how when he first launched his business, he was doing painting jobs and car stuff, everything he could just to earn some cash, right?
Yeah.
While he launched into his dream. So you've got a good thing going in your business already. You have a great reputation. You've got happy clients. So why not make it an end?
You know, another answer just came to me, too. It's something that I need to do is I have, you know, I've got a coffee website, and I have these ideas for maybe starting a nutrition or some type of website. It almost seems like I need to ditch those, do cleaning,
mm-hmm.
singing, and speaking, and kind of focus on two things instead of, because, again, I have 10 browsers open on my website. I mean, I'm...
Yep, you and me both.
You know, I could do 10 things and not get nothing done all day long.
That's right. See, here's where you're thinking really smart, because what you're saying is, hey, if I take these other projects that still might be very viable projects for me, and I just put them on the back burner and say, just not now. Mm-hmm. They may be very viable projects for me, but today, if I had to do a forced ranking, the first thing I have to do is I have to at least do my business, because I already have clients I've committed to.
Right.
And then the second thing I have to do is I have to start getting my message and my music out there and booking myself locally so that I could do it while I'm running my business. And everything else from a project standpoint goes completely on the back burner. You don't look at it. You don't touch it. Put in the file folder. Put the folder in a very remote place so you can't get to it too easily, you know? Because that's also a safe way to distract ourselves. It's a little bit what I was talking to earlier, that one of the other questions that had come through. You know, if you're constantly in the exciting stage of building an idea, that's a safe place to be. And it's not so safe and it's not so easy to be in the execution stage, because that's kind of where the rubber meets the road. Even though we want to be in the execution stage, that's not the fun stage all the time, especially not in the beginning. So you almost have to force yourself. You have to force that distraction to not sort of lure you away. It's kind of like in the Bible, the story of Nehemiah, when he's up on the ladder and he's like, no, I'm doing a mighty work and I cannot come down. You know, don't try to distract me now. I'm doing some good stuff here. And that's almost how you have to tackle it, Sutton.
That is very powerful. I think a lot of times I've heard Dan say that sometimes going to college is just a socially acceptable way of procrastinating. For me, maybe it's a social, you know, maybe I'm trying to avoid the fear, you know, because there's going to be some rejection going down that road. There's going to be some, like, just like, you know, when I started playing music, sometimes no one shows up or pays attention. Sometimes they do.
Mm-hmm.
But I can easily avoid that when I have a coffee website and all these other ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense, but I'm trying to avoid the fear,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not moving in the direction I should go. That's incredible, enlightening.
And I think one of the things, I think for you, Sutton, you have such a powerful message. Is it meant for everybody? No, not everybody's ready to hear it. But it doesn't mean that the folks that are ready to hear it aren't out there. They are. And you're right. You're going to have to go through some rejection and some mud, you know, to get to the real stuff out there and to get to the real clients that absolutely, not only do they need to hear your message, they are desperate for your message. They can't wait. You're going to help enlighten them along the way.
That is awesome. I sure appreciate that. That clears up a lot of things that I've kind of been trying to juggle and figure out. And like you said, it's almost, I couldn't figure it out on my own. It sure makes a lot of sense. I've had a lot of the bricks and things in place, but just trying to align them.
I have another idea that came to mind. I'll send you an email mm-hmm. separately with it. I have another idea that came to mind on how you can maybe jumpstart it I don't want to say safer way. It sounds like a pansy word, but in a way that's not as confrontational, if you will. So I'll email you that one, okay?
Awesome. Yeah, that would be great. Thank
cool.
you. What a great call. Is this call going to be available for, is it going to be recorded or anything like that?
Yep. I will have the replay posted up on the My Wired Style website, and the link will also be on our Facebook page. And we're going to be doing these calls each month, so you'll have plenty of opportunity. We have another one actually booked for January, the end of January, folks can jump on too. So we'll be posting that up on the Facebook page. I think it's the 19th. Yeah, it's January 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. So you can jump on back then too. But, yeah, this will definitely be posted, Sutton. And like I said, I'll email you that other idea I had for you.
Great. Thank you so much, Deb. I can't tell you how much I appreciate your help.
My
and enjoy
pleasure.
All right. Take care.
Bye. Well, folks, I want to thank everybody for participating in today's live Q&A call. Like I said, our next one is going to be on Thursday, January 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. So you'll see it all posted up on the My Wired Style website, on our Facebook page, et cetera. In the meantime, if you are not already a member of our community, go to mywiredstyle.com, take the button over to the left, and jump on in, register. It's completely free. This way you'll always be up to date on what we have going on, when and where. And also, it's a great time for you to be able to ask questions, get feedback not only from me, but also from some other folks that are right there in that community. We have a new single parent Facebook page. So, Mark, I'll let you know about that, too. Might be helpful for your daughter, too. So right there, there's a group there specifically for single parents. And Kim Anistead will be sort of helping to lead the charge on that and really sewing into the lives of single parents and their families. So you just let us know how we can help. I so appreciate that, you know, there are so many of us out there that are really focused in on helping not only ourselves, but those that we know and love to really bring out the very best that God's already given us in talents and strengths and abilities and to really sow them into the world. So have a really great week, everyone. Talk soon. Bye-bye.